Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, come on. All right. Welcome to the Truth is Out, the Voice of the People radio show. Today we have a very special guest. Before I introduce, I want to introduce my co-host, Scarlett. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Good evening, everybody.
We're having a great time here. We got a returning guest. This gentleman here is an Artist Music Guild Award nominee, an International Music Entertainment Association Award winner, an IMEA Award nominee, a Josie Show Awards winner, an Academia in Shelbourne, Ontario, Canada, Blurring the Lines Between Pop, Rock, Folk, and Country Music Awards winner, and Indie Music Channel Award winner, as well as a Radio Music Award winner. Let me welcome again to our show, Ed Roman. How you doing, Ed?
Hey, Joseph. Nice to be here. Pleasure to meet you too, Scarlett.
Hi. How are you?
Good, my dear.
I love the new music. Very different from the old music. You really have created such a new style. And I love the videos. Is that little girl in one of your videos your daughter?
She's the daughter of some friends of mine that owned a pub down up the road for like the last decade that I play at quite often, and she knew a lot of the lyrics to a lot of my songs, so I had asked her to be in the video for that
particular
one. She was
great. It was great.
Yeah, she is great.
You know, and your new music is just awesome.
Thank you so much, Scarlett.
I have a question. The album, Red Omen, did that take you a long time to write the lyrics and do the music?
Well, you know, the album itself, I mean, writing is an ongoing process. Let me start by saying that. And, you know, you're always, like lyrics, language and ideas are sort of fitting together to sort of create a song, the idea, melody, chords. Sometimes that comes first, sometimes it happens at the same time, sometimes lyrics come first, but there's always these groupings of things that are happening, and in that process you kind of like, you know, look to the side a little and you think, these 12 or 14 or 15 or 9 numbers, they all belong as part of this sort of, you know, album of ideas, and kind of fit under like an umbrella of a feeling. So a lot of the music was, you know, compartmentalized probably over like, you know, a year and a half. I didn't sit down and think to myself, I'm just going to write this album. But as you write, even in the process of writing, you know, you have an idea. But a lot of the time, the idea is kind of asking you, you know, and asking questions of you. And the same thing goes with, you know, organizing songs. Sometimes those songs are all saying, hey, you know, we kind of fit together. What should we call this? What's the umbrella look like? And you know, I'm always writing. I think everybody's always going through a writing process, and I never try to like say I'm just going to finish one thing. I'm always writing multiple things on a regular basis because I like not being worried about the process, because again, that information of the question that's being asked of me is most important for me to listen to. That way, the process unfolds for me in an honest and sincere fashion. Otherwise, you know, sitting down, sometimes somebody says, "Well, write a song about cat food." You know, well, it can kind of be like contrived, and it can kind of be clinical inside of that whole process. And for me, art is an expression of your living moment, the things that you're feeling and going through. And when it feels right, you scribble all that stuff that's inside of you down, and then you try to organize it in some palatable way. And before you know it, you've got the album Red Omen. But, you know, everybody's different, and that's what makes it so interesting, the process of art, is that there shouldn't be one method or one process to something. It's meant to be an act of expression. So hopefully, your process of playing it should feel the same as, you know, your process of finding it. Because then
my song is Coming My Way. I mean, that is my tune. Okay, I play that all the time.
Hey, thank you.
You're quite welcome. No, thank you. Joseph and I love that tune. We play it all the time.
Right.
You know, and then when we got back into the radio show, and then he said, well, let's look up Ed Roman. He must be all busy. And we started looking up on you, and you had really expanded on everything. And I said, wow, must have a conversation with you. Must. You know, Red Roman, interesting title for an album. Very interesting.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I also see that you have a big single called Stronger.
That's the first single, Joseph, coming in from the new project called The Recipe for Perpetual Spring.
And that details...
I'm sorry?
And what is that, that big project that entails more, what is Stronger's part of... Because that's a major release that you did back in January of last year, 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's an ongoing project called The Recipe for Perpetual Spring. And a number of the songs that have come out over the last year, year and a half, are a part of that project. But with everything that's also been going on in and around the world, things have also been slightly arrested as a result of that. But that song, Stronger, and Tomorrow is Today, as well as the new single just came out in November, they're all part of that same project.
And that single is called Happiness, correct?
That's correct, my friend.
I hear that you are very big in helping others, raising funds for Hall Dyslexic Foundation and other type of organizations like that. What got you started with that?
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, people have approached me, and I like having conversations with people at festivals and different organizations that have sort of either sent me emails or contacted me. With the Dyslexic Society, I struggled for years with dyslexia. I guess I should start by saying one of the main reasons I started playing music was because I struggled. And my mom, you know, she put a guitar in my hands at a very early age because she saw that I was brightening up, there was this whole other connectivity for me personally, being able to express myself outside of the normal sort of realm of academics. So as I got older, I started to pursue music more wholeheartedly, and, you know, and writing for me has always been something that isn't necessarily attached to that part of education where, you know, this is how you write. You know, you take creative writing and you do English, take English and things like that in school. But dyslexia was something I struggled with that was not a comprehension issue. It was an issue with learning how to read or say a certain word. And in that process, it takes longer for you to manage your way through normal literature. And, you know, for me, picking up a guitar and singing a song, I could hear something and learn how to play it and learn the lyrics just by listening to it. What I started to understand is that there's a lot of people that are dyslexic that are in a three-dimensional field. Other than music, many artists, plumbers, electricians, carpenters, there's all some sort of connectivity to that. You know, you're creating and doing something with your hands and you're seeing the byproduct of it. And you mentioned, Scarlett mentioned Red Omen earlier, and Red Omen is an anagram of my name. You know, people say, well, dyslexic flip letters inside of things, and that's why it has, we have trouble reading. But with that said, that's not necessarily, you know, the issue. The issue is that learning itself is very two-dimensional, and the dyslexic's mind is very three-dimensional in thinking. So there's some collision there. And dyslexia also is the thing that I, through my process, started talking more about. And then meeting the Dyslexic Society was all through music. I wrote the title track for that album, Red Omen. I always sort of foresaw it as some sort of cartoon or a little animation of some kind that would tell the story that was inside of that number. And luckily met and started working with a really well-known animator in New York City that helped me bring that to light. And then hand-in-hand with management, reaching out to the Dyslexic Society in the U.S., the Davis Dyslexic Society, turned me on to the Canadian National Dyslexic Society, which is the whole Dyslexic Society. The president is Sue Hall, and we have chapters and facilitating offices in every province. So that video went on to sort of be the figurehead and to raise awareness and monies for that organization for kids that struggle and, you know, need tutoring. And because it's privately funded, and the awareness also has brought a lot of attention to the whole organization, it's been a great thing. And it was one of those, you know, the more that you give, the more that comes back, because it's brought me an incredible amount of joy seeing that happen. And it's helped out a lot of people, and it's connected me personally to an incredibly wide field of people all around the world. And I like that. I've always thought music, for me, even listening to music, you know, when I was down or something and I was putting something on to make me feel good, I knew that there was a healing power to it. I knew that in the language of it and the communication of it, it could be a very powerful thing. Right? The pen is mightier than the sword, right?
Exactly.
So I like it when that happens. More recently, I've been working with the Cancer Society for this Music Beats Cancer. There's also a live stream event that's happening on January the 20th. We're doing a whole thing dedicated to David Bowie. Multiple artists are involved. Everybody's doing a cover from three or four different Bowie albums. So, you know, again, that's through the Cancer Society, raising money, awareness, attention.
Excellent.
I don't know. I think it's a natural thing for people in the arts community to be involved in community support for
What's great is that your music tells a story, and it reflects feelings, and it's very important. And with the Dyslexia Society and with the Cancer Society, it actually, music calms the situation down and smooths the situation around and makes people feel better, and it helps. And you put a smile on people's face when you hear that, and of course, to help another means. You know, and that's excellent.
Has that helped you with your dyslexia, being more involved with the way you use your talents and you've connected with a lot of people who do have dyslexia across the world? Has it expanded you and helped you in doing better with your dyslexia?
Well, yeah, that's a great question, because I think what's helped me is it's helped me realize, again, that there's many people that have their own experience when it comes to this. I've got a friend of mine that's a script writer. You know, it's funny, like, so often, like, I think, I'm not sure if you guys are aware, like, even Henry Winkler, the guy that played the Fonz, he's a dyslexic, or Keanu Reeves.
I didn't know that he was. Okay.
Yeah, so like, there's this sort of artistic component to it. When you think about acting, you're sort of changing people's perception through your character. It's the hurdle of, understanding the language and making it work for you. But that's the thing I always say to a dyslexic people. They say, don't say anything to a dyslexic you don't want them to remember, because we're always going to remember. We almost have sort of like photographic memories. As a result,
well, that's the same
sort of
like my son. My son is in the spectrum of autism, and he also has a problem with understanding with letters and phonetics and reading and words.
Right,
so,
right. Well, and that's the other thing,
he's
too.
He's into animation.
See, and that's the thing. Like, that space, that comprehension of what they're thinking about is making it somewhere with a three-dimensional activity.
Exactly.
That's even in my opinion, even with education, when I was growing up and struggling, I sort of understand how little there is sort of this connective, tactical connectivity to certain things that you're doing every day at school, other than maybe being out in the yard picking up a hockey stick or bouncing a basketball around or something like that. Even you asked me before, like, what else have I learned? Well, as I said, everybody's experience is different. I remember I was doing a talk, and this gentleman had called in, and he had said, you know, what's going on with me is very similar to what you're talking about. Because when I eventually got to a point, he said the same thing. He said, like, I'm a mechanic now. He loves his job. He loves what he does. But when he was in school, grade school and high school, he struggled immensely through that process. It's when he got out of that, and I'm not saying that's not right for, the wrong thing for some people, and it's maybe not the right thing for some people. He started to go, like, I really want to know how this works. So what happens is the mother of all necessity is like, well, hey, you know, look, how do I look? I have to look in this manual. I have to look in this book. I'm going to do more reading on it. What's the engineering behind it? There's all of a sudden another process that is sort of turns on in you. So you start looking at information in a different way, and you start absorbing it in a different way. So despite that, it came later for him through this process of educating himself more formidably. The more important thing was is that he was touching motors, working on them, taking them apart, fixing them. There was this tactical touching aspect to the learning process, even through the process of conversation. I remember even as a kid, people be over at the house or whatever, sitting around farmhouse table, kitchen table, and being a kid listening upstairs through the transom, all these jokes and conversations people were having, and I remember them so well because they were driven by the character of the person. And in that process of character-driven information, which is also very three-dimensional, it's almost alive, it's in the air, you can see it happening, there's this other learning process that goes on and makes things even stick a little differently as a result of that. So, I even think in my own process of learning when I was a student that if I had teachers that were very mechanical and flat, those are where I struggled. The places where I had teachers that
exactly
were more engaging and had a personality, I loved those classes because the teachers were, engaging.
Yes. Those are far and few between in school, having those type of particular teachers, because most of the time teachers just see you as one person and robotic, and this is the only way to go. But each individual has their own different structure of absorbing and learning and expressing.
That's absolutely right. And I think that I, even after teaching music myself for so many years, I understand that teaching itself is an art form. The for that exact reason, is that nobody's the same. The information may be the same or similar, but how people absorb it is very different from person to person, and why they want to absorb it or what is of interest to them is also very specific and different. So
the music that you write describes all that in your music.
So let me ask you a question. You expressed about a David Bowie, was that an album or a concert that you're going to be doing?
That's a live stream event. That's part of Music Beats Cancer through the Cancer Society. And there are a number of artists that are performing. It's going to be going out to their Facebook platform, which is Music Beats Cancer, and I believe some of it will also be televised to some jumbotrons at sporting events. But the that's sort of, it is live,
so
but I mean, people are in lockdown. So,
are you going to be doing a Bowie tune?
Yeah, I'm doing Changes. That number two, the studio version of that has been recorded, is already mixed, mastered, and it's also a part of a tribute album with other artists from Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and Journey, and a number of other bigger...
Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Journey.
And Journey.
Yeah, Journey, and there's some members of, I think, Jimi Hendrix, the Band of Gypsies, and the Jimi Hendrix Experience, the former members of... but I was so honored to be asked to do it. And after the Cancer Society had reached out and they were talking about these Bowie covers, I said, well, I'd like to step up and do this. So it'll be me playing my bass and singing to people on the 20th for the live stream event. But, yeah, you can check it out at Music Beats Cancer on their Facebook
page.
So where would we find
people wanted to see you singing on the stream?
On that
you
stream
said it was
for
a
that
Facebook?
One? Facebook, it'll be for Music Beats Cancer.
On the 20th of January, correct?
That's right, and a number of other artists will be on that particular day.
Okay, we'll go mark and promote
Music
that for you guys.
Beats.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate that.
Are you kidding? We're going to market it. I'm going to bring everybody to see this.
The fundraising is still underway, too, so if people want to donate, there's still time
absolutely, to donate. Absolutely. People will donate, and people will view, and people will see you and the other artists.
Absolutely. Also, if you go to the World Wide Web and you type in Music Beats Cancer, and you go to their website and you type in my name in their search window, you'll see my particular fundraising drive right now.
Okay. Yeah, and you have a direct link to that?
There is.
Yeah.
If you go right to musicbeatscancer.com and you click on that, you'll see there's a little search window. Type Ed Roman in that search window, and up will come my little platform that they set up there. They actually, through that website, they also, I believe, are going live that day. So if you can't log on to Facebook or if you're not on Facebook as a platform user, you can go through the website.
Yeah, well, these days we don't know when we're going to be on and not with Facebook or any of that stuff. But in the meantime, we're going to market, promote it not only through the show and our own networks, but also through the podcast that I do too. So you'll have
thank
extra
you so much.
Publicity
thank you.
On that.
Thank you.
And the same thing with the Dyslexia Foundation Society over there, and the Cancer Society.
Yes, thank you so much. And also, too, if you go to Vimeo and you watch the Red Omen video, or you purchase it on iTunes or rent it on iTunes or Amazon, all the proceeds are going to the whole Dyslexic Society here for tutoring programs.
That's why I mentioned it, because I saw that. And we actually have your song, Red Omen, on in the studio. So if you want, we can play it now for you. Just hold on.
tell you that I grew up with Red Omen, and boy was he a neat kid. He had all sorts of really cool things to play with, like a plutonium spaceship lunchbox and a bathtub full of Legos. And I didn't believe you when somebody said that he fled with Jimi Hendrix to a UFO type base camp up on Machu Picchu. Up on Machu Picchu. I said, excuse me, it's not my fault. He's playing the drive, so he can't get caught. I said, excuse me, I must confess. Well, give me two words. Well, in my defense, laughing mad. I'm laughing mad. Laughing mad. There's a red hot stove down in Pittsburgh going out hard like a cherry pie. Call me a fibber, call me a liar, say it to my face like a cross between Benjamin Franklin and Ian Paice. And I didn't believe the man from MI6 living out in the sticks who souped up his side by side like Evel Knievel. Just like Evel Knievel. Said, excuse me, it's not my fault. He's playing the crime, so he can't get caught. I said, excuse me, I must confess. Well, give me two words. Well, in my defense, laughing mad. I'm laughing mad. Today, you see, my nerves are shattered, tired, tattered, beginning to fray. Just like Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz, realizing only now you're caught in someone else's claws. And I didn't believe in myself if no one else to be making voodoo music in some small town way up in Canada. Way up in Canada. I said, excuse me. It's not my fault, he's playing the crime, so he can't get caught. I said, excuse me, I must confess. Well, give me two words. Well, in my defense, laughing mad. Well, I'm laughing mad. Well, I'm laughing mad.
And that was Red Omen, and it was excellent. You did great. You know.
Great lyrics. So great. And your guitar is so wonderful.
You were playing the guitar along with you.
Yes.
That's guitar and bass. I'm a bass player by trade. I mean, but like I do a lot of writing on both instruments. And when I'm in the studio, depending on what's going on, I mean, you know, I'm always sort of recording and working in something in some way. So even the last bunch of singles have been guest musicians, and some of those tracks, just with what's going on with around the world, I got a friend in Berlin that's working on the keyboard parts for it, and the piano parts for it, a drummer in Toronto, Dave Patel, working on the drum parts.
This is why we have
me working on parts here up in central Ontario, then the engineer and producer and Barry, you know, mixing and mastering everything. The process, you know, can change as a result of what's going on. And some of the music is you can build it. You can sort of, like, you know, devise a process where, you know, I cut a vocal and a guitar part and I build around it. some of the music, though, needs to be captured live off the floor as a band. It needs to have that, in that particular tune, as the band playing the bass, drums, electric guitar. We're jamming them and playing to basically me singing and playing.
So do all of you hook up at the same time and plug in and record from everybody around the world into one, I guess, whatever recording app you have?
Well, Scarlett, I have to say that if you've figured out that technology and it works with any without any delay or issue, you're going to be a rich woman.
Because
it's still, there's still latency issues. There are some things that people have been working on that sort of kind of run in real time, but not. So what we're forced to do is work at different times. And also, too, like I'm on a time frame with Berlin, so there's like a six-hour time difference.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's, you know, 6 in the morning here, it's noon in the afternoon, or just noon, right? So that's you know, when I send a more complete version to him, and he'll play on it in his studio, then send me his tracks back, and we pop them in. And that's the way we slowly build stuff from across the board.
Well, we got to go around all this stuff, and that's the best way to do it. You know
okay.
what? You're inventing different formats, and actually could do, make it even bigger and better things later on in the future. By all this stuff that's happening, we're inventing new techniques to bring everything together in a great way, and the music's coming out fantastic.
I don't know if you viewed when we first went down under this situation on the world, and they did this concert, and everybody viewed it, and it had Billy Joe Armstrong from what's his name? From what band? Okay, and then they had some groups that had the members, and they all framed them in into a four-way. So that means they did all their piece at a different time, and they just, the network seamed it together?
Exactly. Well, that's what they tried to let people to believe that that was the case. But, and there is sort of like a way to kind of do it, but it's not, it's sort of like you're going to get a delay. There, like I said, if you figured it out, you're going to be a rich woman because
I'm a
opening.
Designer, and I work with all different apps and programs, and I'm into it stuff.
Well, hey,
so
you know what?
I've
always thought about it as an open line. And how do you get 4 or 5 or 6 or 12 or 25
Zoom.
Open lines all coming in, also
Zoom.
Being able to be dialed into
and
a certain area?
You have to figure out how to record your Zoom.
Well, but that's the other thing too. Like, I mean, even with an app like Acapella, or I think it was the Rolling Stones that used. It was either Acapella or something else that was sort of, you could kind of do a live thing, but later, like you said, they cut it at different
times. There's an app called Audition, okay, that I used to record and put together. When I do my animation and my videos and I could play with the music, I was able to overlap things and do layers with it. So it's an interesting program.
I'll have to check it out.
Okay. Yeah, it's called Audition. And I like to play with things because I promote us. So I do a lot of different things, and I think out of the box. So I find things. But, you know, so are you touring in Canada?
I'm in Canada. I was born, bred, raised, hatched, incubated. Here in central Ontario,
are you touring?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to tour there? Are things open to go and have crowds around you?
Oh, man. Like, I mean, I could go into a litany of explanations about what we can and can't do. Right now we're in the midst of a major lockdown, and there's no dining, no theater, no movies, no live events. And it's sort of like, you know, flattened the curve, but it's going to probably last 3 weeks or longer. And that's in a catastrophic way has really affected so many people's livelihoods, and not just in the music industry as we're talking music, but like right across
just
the board.
People in general.
Yeah, in general.
Need to be with people.
And really, what's going on here is a travesty to justice when it comes to people's civil rights and freedoms. And
Come to Florida.
Yeah, well, that's just it. Like, listen, hats off to you guys and Texas, because at least I know that there's people, like, looking at a greater part of the information and understanding more about what it is. Accountability is the biggest issue, I think, even for, like, just the simplest person that might go, wait a minute. So you're not going to get behind this product. The people that are saying I have to take it, they're not going to get behind it. And if something happens to me, I'm kind of on my own. And that's kind of the same thing that's going on here in Canada. And the other thing, even with money, like the money that's going out in terms of bailouts, there's some very wonderful people in the Canadian holding seats in office. Pierre Poilievre is one of them. He's a conservative, but I don't vote for a party. I vote for the person. And you know, they're asking for, like, another $7.3 billion. It's like, well, where's the money coming from? Like, I mean, I could
We all know what's going on.
It's just going to further bankrupt the system. So, your question is really hard to answer, because right now it seems to be like we are in the midst of a battle. Plain and simply, and I'm sure we could frame it in a lot of other ways with a lot of other kind of
ways. If you decide to do a live concert of yourself from your website and you stream yourself,
live stream event.
Just let me know, and we'll bring the people to you.
Thank you so much. And if I could also, too, just remind you about the 20th again for the live stream event.
Yeah, I have it written down.
Thank you so much.
Music Beats Cancer, and we're going to market it, okay? Because everybody in the world loved David Bowie.
Thank you, man. It's a great tune. And you know what? Maybe the title itself exemplifies exactly what's going on right now with everybody around the world. The big change.
Yep, exactly.
You know, it shouldn't stop us from getting the message out.
No, man. That's what the music's always been about. That's right.
Right. And can you tell people where they can find you, what's your website, and where they can go buy your music?
Thank you so kindly for asking. It's edroman.net, and all my social networking buttons are there, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I haven't put my TikTok up there, but I'm also on TikTok now. I'm also on Rumble and Facebook. If you're going to look for me and do a search, Special Ed Roman, but the website's a good place to go. You can also go through Amazon there and iTunes for a lot of my material. You can also check out a bunch of older stuff on SoundCloud. And, of course, there's tons of stuff on Spotify right now. So, again, I got to thank you guys for having me on the show and supporting the Music Beats Cancer event.
Thank you for coming on.
We will definitely do all that. And it's nice to see you on Rumble and TikTok, because I'm both.
Yeah, you know what? I had to get on there because, you know, the developer, you know, you go and do the little research on, like, the – they're saying, like, you know, it's a rating, 5-star rating, 4-star rating. And the first thing was, you know, just a bunch of kids farting around, da-da-da-da-da-da. And it was, like, a terrible rating. And then it had, I think it was, like, 1.2 billion users every day or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah.
And I thought, what an amazing marketing strategy to have the worst review up there, but then have all that usage. It's like, And now I'm on there. I use it all the time. And Rumble.
Yeah. And so TikTok is big in a lot of ways. The only thing bad about TikTok, it takes a lot of memory. As far as Rumble, it's great because you have more time on Rumble to do things. TikTok, you're limited in time. But
Podomatic is also great too, Joseph. There's a lot of people I listen to through that app, and they're far less scrutinizing and far more trustworthy on a database level for people all over the world.
Try Telegram. It's another one.
Yeah,
and
Telegram.
And True Social is coming soon.
Yeah,
so
or Signal.
There are many, many outlets to get your message out.
Guys, thanks so much, Dave, for having me.
By the way, Rumble is public. It's going to be public. It's going
to be
on NASDAQ.
That's good. That's even better.
Right. Anyway, thank you for coming on, and we're going to be marking, and we're going to watch it on the 20th.
Thank you so kindly, and hey, take care of yourselves. God bless you.
You too.
And have a great night.
Bye.
You too. Thank you again.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too. Happy New Year, folks.
Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, guys. Bye.
Okay. We have breaking news coming on. We got confirmation. I'm going to be talking tomorrow. Jason Mariner is coming on the show on Sunday around 7:30. And he will be talking about his election campaign, because next week after that is the election. Jason Mariner emailed me and said that we'll be talking tomorrow and he'll be coming on. So we'll go from that. That's a good thing. That means we have two people on Sunday. Ashley Puddock is also on. So that'll be Ashley be on the night. Ashley Puddock is going to be on the night at 7. 7:30 be Jason Mariner if everything works out. Gary Pratt is expected to come on next week. We also talking to Ingo Radmacher of GH. He played Jax. He's going to be talking about medical freedom, and we're working on that. And we're also talking to Gary from Shadowproof, along with Jamie Lee Curtis, on putting on a show on addiction. So that's the future at the moment. A little bit about Ed Roman, him and us, he was one of the people when we first came on a few years back. He did Coming My Way, which was a song that we did replay all the time. It's like our theme song in a way, and really, really is a good thing, and it's great.
We'll be posting it on The Truth and Facebook and Twitter and other outlets.
What's
and this
happening.
Way you'll get all the tidbits on Music Beats Cancer. Very important.
Right. And also
the Bowie tribute and Ed Roman doing the changes.
And the Alexia Foundation and all that stuff. It's important because it's all about special needs. And yes, Ed Roman is special needs.
Yes, he is. And I related to him because of our
son.
Of our son, who's not here anymore. Okay. So, and yes, I felt right in tune with him.
We do a lot for people
with special needs.
Out there, we promote them, we market them, we do different things. We don't just talk the talk, we actually walk the walk.
Okay.
And we're out there constantly.
I tuned right in on his struggles and how he's with education. But his mother was smart. She saw what to do. She saw the sensory part of it.
Yeah.
And she saw how to guide him to his success.
All these people, like autism or dyslexia or anything to do with functions.
Mommies and dads.
Has to do with sensory. It's all sensory. He says he sees things in three dimensions as opposed to two dimensional.
Well, they're all different. They all have different ways of doing it and seeing it and fulfilling
music.
Different areas of life. Okay? And you just got to figure out them so you can help them to figure themselves. And that's true, because when our son was in school, they did DIP for him with reading and phonetics and all that stuff. And him, after he graduated, more so now he reads. Okay? School maybe was a stepping stone to something. Okay? It's a hangout place. You know, you make friends. You enter. Otherwise, you know, I think education should be structured for an individual. They are not robots. It's not the Stepford kids. Okay? And a teacher, as far as I'm concerned, should have children. Okay? You cannot put a person in class. It's not about a book. It's about real life and how you work with a child day in and day out.
Yeah, I know.
I think there's only one person that you and I know, and that's the Queen. She gets it, okay? Because she knows how to interact with the babies.
Yeah, well, she's done very...
Because, one, she was from, when you look at it in a special needs way, because of where she came from, and she grew up, and she saw, and she learned, and she expanded, and she knows how to have that sensory, mental thing with the babies, the way she sets up her daily plans to educate them.
That's key. See,
you have to
know
where you came from.
The queen that we talk about, nobody thought she was going to be alive after 15, and she was a Make-A-Wish girl and everything else. But this is a woman who just turned, nobody thought she'll do 14, 15. She's now turned 30. She's really, really out there. She's epileptic
in
a way.
Some of those teachers and putting together
This is a woman that is following her passions and her dreams. She's not negative. She doesn't like toxic people or anything like that. She's very positive in nature. She always goes when she runs. She says, "Who's going to challenge the queen?"
She just won a giant marathon.
Yeah,
okay?
She did 40. She did, I think it was 46 miles, something like that. She did the other day. And came in first, all female. She beat every single woman there.
And the running is not, it doesn't even put her out of breath. She just breezes along and does.
It was the Vista Park at Davie, and there was that marathon thing, and she won it.
Hills and valleys.
Valleys.
Okay.
And she won it, literally won it for a female. This is not the first time she's
not
done
that.
She's
educated.
She
that
this
she
one here
and has that passion to begin it, to do it, and to finish it, and she completes the mission.
And all the people that surround her are all positive people. They all support her and everything. She's got a big following. She's part of what we call Fish family. Like my friend Danny's another one. Another one that's a passionate stuff, but he's trying to get into coaching and into either doing referee or actually wrestling stuff. But we're working with various people, Impact Wrestling and AEW and stuff like that, to get him involved.
No choke
down
slams.
I don't know. That's going to happen.
Wrestling's on tonight. Left WWE, AEW.
Elite
Wrestling, great.
There's a World Championship match. There's a tag team title match, and there's the first TBS Women's Champion match. Three title matches, five altogether this week. Three shows, one on TBS, another one on TNT on Friday, and then TBS on Saturday on the special show. There's five.
Monday night was the close of fantasy football. And
yes.
Good news about
we're
that.
Going, okay, here's the breakdown of the fantasy football. Scarlett won
her
championship team. Scarlett, won. She became the world, she got the gold, she won the world champion.
That's right.
In her league. We have five teams. The other one that came out great is Jenny. Jenny got silver. She came in second. Then came Kimberly. Came in fourth, and Jordan came in fifth. I came in fifth. It was basically that was the five. But the thing is, for the first, this is really, really good.
It was a very intense season. It was touch and go there.
Really, Jets won from behind, and the Pittsburgh running back won it for her, and that's it on that one. But what's different is that we watched the games, but we didn't see any kneeling or anything like that. But there's a lot of injuries, and COVID paid havoc, and they setting up the lineups really did. But it's the end. I used to do fantasy baseball, but it's 162 games. It's kind of hard to do, and with the media and the things that we're doing now,
football's easy.
It's a lot easier because you only have to set the lineup once a week,
exactly.
And you just change it before the games. But baseball is every day, and between that and the lockout right now, we don't even know if we're going to have a baseball beginning in spring training probably March. We'll see.
It's the only sport I truly deeply like, and nobody kneels. And nobody does anything goofy.
Well, baseball has its own little stick.
And they're pro, Trump.
But the
whole season with those Trump, with the Trump banners.
Yeah, we've been doing that in all of our things. NASCAR, the Let's Go Brandon is now, there's a controversy again. One of the sponsors or anything. But, okay, breakdown. First of all, tomorrow there's not going to be a press conference for Trump. He's going to do his thing, what I thought would have been better anyway, in Florence, Arizona on the 15th. Big rally there. We already have about 30,000-40,000 tickets given out at that one. There's going to be a lot of people there, and that one's covered by RSVN. Little stuff for us here. The truth is out there. Voice of People radio show continues on Wednesdays and Sundays at 7 to 8. With the podcast is continuing each and every day except for the days for the radio show because we don't want to conflict. And coming, and we're in negotiations with Newsmax and RSPN. That for a half-hour TV show, and we're trying to work it out.
That website that Ed Roman was talking about, it's Music Beats with an S, plus, plural, cancer.org.
And our listeners
to
go there.
To fight cancer. Our war on cancer depends on the power and the passion of people in music. And they've raised
$179,772.
Good for that.
And we're going to promote that, and we're going to continue that because we support the fight on cancer. We support the fight. We support the fight on special needs like dyslexia and autism. And, and many other different type of diseases out there, and it's very important that we have that out there because we have to stand up and speak. We do have news coming out. There's been a 140% increase of fentanyl coming across the southern border for 2021. The largest in history. The border is open. People, drugs are coming pouring in. Illegals are coming in. They're not tested for violence. The Communist organization is not testing for COVID or any other viruses, so they're coming in with all kinds of diseases, not being tested, not doing anything.
Okay.
Omicron is all over the place. The Sundance Festival has been canceled. The Grammys have been canceled. So it's hard. But the Omicron, the people in Africa are laughing at us. It's just a common cold.
It's all about control. And nobody's going to control us.
No, now here in Florida, despite the communists.
And look who's dying. They get those boosters, and for some reason, they are dying.
People are the boosters.
Okay, also another thing. I posted a link on Gail Hammer in the Facebook for Betty White's documentary. I have to go to the theater on January 17th, and all of it's a whole list of theaters that you can go see her documentary, and they have an intro on it. Go check it out.
That's important, too. You know, and that's very, very important. A little bit of information for us. The reason why I call Democrats communists, because they are communists. They're all Solinsky's. And the rules are coming directly out of the Communist Party. They support the communists. They support people like Black Lives Matter and Antifa and stuff. All funded by the Communist Party.
And they're all Marxists.
I want
everything of yours, and you have nothing.
Now I want to tell you, if you go back into our history, there's a lot of us that support Democrats. A lot of us support Democrats.
Democrats They're not all bad Democrats out there.
Back in the 60s, the 70s, 80s, back when I was involved in Woodside, I was working with Thomas Manton and the
John Kennedy was a good Democrat.
Yeah.
Harry S. Truman.
No,
so,
those Democrats, Bill Bradley.
Ed Koch.
I love Ed Koch. You know,
all these
people that we work with and stuff. It's not just the fact.
It's not about party today. It's about a person.
Right.
And it's about the fact that they are control nuts and that they are losers.
Mark, remember we worked at campaign managers. We were campaign managers for Monty Weinstein, a Democrat versus a Democrat.
That's right. And he got
before they came here.
Because Helene Weinstein said that he couldn't use his name. What a bunch of crock.
Yeah.
He used his name
Weinstein
because the last name was Weinstein. And we got him on the ballot because we did the petitions. You remember that?
Right. We got him all done.
And he did. And the court was so, well, court, the justice is corrupt.
Yeah.
Even
but,
then.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway. So, you know, we actually go, first of all, even though I'm a registered Republican, I will vote for the best candidate across the board.
You know what
and
changed
that's it.
Me?
It's not about the party. It's
you
about
know what
the
changed me from being on the Democratic Party and voting was Bill Clinton.
No.
So Bill and Hillary, those two, they changed.
Yeah. Well,
okay?
Okay, that is true. Anyway, we got a little over 3 minutes left. I want to thank Ed Roman for coming on the show.
Okay, and I posted the link for Ed Roman for Music Beats Cancer, and you can go there and donate money and help the cancer situation.
We're going to promote the tribute to David Bowie,
January 20th, and we'll keep you abreast of where the streaming will be and the time, and donate your money.
Anyway, God bless you.
You never know when your breast or your ovaries or your prostate fall apart.
Yeah, I want to thank my co-host Scarlett Butler for helping out on this very important show. See you on Sunday where we got Jason Marina coming on at 7:30 and Ashley Puckett at 7:00. I want to thank you all. Have a good night.
Everybody, be safe and be happy. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,
Okay, well, off we are.
When we get our money, when we get the money.
Okay. You can't.